Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, September 22nd, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break, a 2-for-20 preview of tonight's Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view with Jake Barnett. The Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view will take place tonight in Las Vegas, Nevada at Sam's Town Live. It's also a WWE pay-per-view weekend, so Jake and I are going to do double duty. We're going to get together with a preview of the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view on Saturday, so a little bit of a bonus all-access podcast coming your way on Saturday. Will Pruitt normally gets together with Jake. He is busy with some outside projects this week. However, he is going to be joining me on Monday for the return of ProWrestling.net Live at PWAudio.net. Same place as usual, blog talk, but PWAudio.net will get you there. And we will be taking your phone calls at 3 Central, 4 Eastern, coming out of the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view. And one more note, join me for live coverage of both Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor tonight and the No Mercy show on Sunday night. With all the business out of the way, let's bring in Jake Barnett to discuss this Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view. Jake, you and I were talking a little bit before we hit record. Is it a good idea for Ring of Honor to continue to run Friday nights when there's a WWE event on Sunday night?
Well, I think there's probably competing schools of thought on the matter. I mean, there's the people that will tell you, well, it's a wrestling weekend. People are, going to be kind of tuned up for it. So they may be more likely to, want to watch a warm-up kind of thing for a Sunday show by catching Ring of Honor on Friday. And they're trying to win people, over onto their bandwagon as ROH fans. So maybe they feel like being in close proximity to what WWE is doing might get them a few more people. And then on the other side of the coin, there's the, well, how much is too much programming, and will fatigue play a factor in whether or not people are willing to order two shows in one weekend? I certainly find myself in the latter camp. It's difficult for me to find time to fit all this wrestling into my calendar, but that certainly doesn't seem to be the case for everyone. So I guess I don't know which one to favor. But for me personally, I think it gets to be a bit too much.
Yeah, I do wish. I mean, I get it for WrestleMania, the big weekends. I totally understand that. SummerSlam, if they're trying to piggyback, I get it. But, and maybe they don't know when they set their schedule. It could be just a coincidence, but it does seem like we're seeing a lot of these. For this show, Cody, Minoru Suzuki in the main event for the ROH Championship, on the old 0 to 10 scale for the level of enthusiasm, where do you sit?
Yeah, I'm probably at like a 6. I mean, I really enjoy Minoru Suzuki's work, and I think Cody Rhodes has been great on the indies. It's just, for me, it's like a matter of styles. I think they both work a rather, I don't want to say plodding, because that's probably an inaccurate term, but they're just not pushing the pace of matches in a lot of cases. And so for me, I just don't know what to expect. I'm prepared to be surprised, but I'm sort of expecting a slower paced match than what we're used to from Ring of Honor main events.
Yeah, I'm probably at about the same, about a 6. It's a good lineup. I think they've done a nice job of positioning this on the television show as a meaningful show. Every match has some purpose. Okay, maybe not Chucky T and Marty Scurll, but it's a match that I'm still looking forward to. I mean, there really hasn't been much. We haven't even heard from Chuck Taylor yet since he first appeared on Ring of Honor television. He just wrestles occasionally. But the rest of the show, I think they've done a nice job leading up to things, building to this pay-per-view. And they don't always do that with the television show. So I was very encouraged by that. And it was a tricky one for them. They don't have access to Minoru Suzuki. I don't believe Kushida, the television champion, was at the last batch of television tapings that they did leading up to this event either. So it was a little bit tricky, but I think they pulled it off better than they typically do. Let's work our way through with some previews and predictions for this. Worth noting, by the way, Ring of Honor, be kind of helpful to list that Motor City Machine Guns and Young Bucks tag title match in your official preview for the thing. They just have also to compete. The Motor City, or signed to compete, the Motor City Machine Guns. No mention of it, and it's one of the bigger matches on the show. Yikes. But let's start with Chucky T and Marty Scurll. I don't anticipate hearing from Chuck Taylor on this show either, because we don't hear much from the ROH talent on these. It's just kind of one match after another. But where do you think they're going with this?
I mean, without having heard much from Chucky at all, I have no idea where they're going with this. I mean, I'm looking forward to the match, and I'm guessing the feud will continue beyond here. I mean, it's one of those things that they really should follow up more on television with, because we haven't really heard much from Chucky since he debuted, and Marty has been promising in Ring of Honor altogether. But I mean, from a feud standpoint, it's hard to gauge the direction of the wind, because we don't really have a whole lot to go on. But I'm assuming we're going to see probably Marty get a victory in the first match of the feud, and maybe hopefully they add some seeds here that let it continue onto television.
They need to heat up Marty again. I mean, he is a hot act, don't get me wrong. But in Ring of Honor, he was the TV champion, and then now he just kind of seems like he's out of the picture. He's in Bullet Club, but he really doesn't have anything going, and then it's just kind of like, let's throw these guys together. It should be a good match. I want to see him regain the ROH TV Championship. I thought that was a great slot for him. I don't know why they ended up going with Kushida in that role. I don't think it really has done much. But in this match, I just kind of look at it as, okay, Chuck Taylor also teams with Beretta, and then they have the whole thing with Rocky Romero being there too, who also was a tag team partner of Beretta, maybe still is. I don't know where they're going with that. So I guess I'm just kind of looking at this one as, they're going to put the singles wrestler over. And not saying they won't protect Chuck Taylor, but I do assume that the singles wrestler goes over in Marty Scurll. Then we have the Las Vegas street fight, which is so different from a Boise street fight or any other street fight. But in this case, it is Jay White taking on Punishment Martinez, a feud that started because Punishment Martinez beat Jay White. Or I'm sorry, the opposite of that. Jay White beat Punishment Martinez at a house show in Hopkins, Minnesota. Seems kind of weird that they played so much on a house show, but they've done a nice job on TV with it, at any rate, of making this a feud. They're Martinez is constantly getting involved in Jay White or attacking him after the match, whatever. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they can do here. Do you have a strong feeling about who wins this?
I mean, they've had Jay White, beat him on television in the past. So I guess it depends on if they want this feud to continue. It's been basically a nonstop stream of attacks, by Punishment here, and Jay White seems to get the wins in the ring. So maybe they give a win to Punishment here and try to keep this feud going forward. I guess, based on TV, I think that seems to be the direction they're leaning.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, I think Jay White is 2-0, maybe even 3-0 in these matches, and so I'm guessing with the street fight rules that Punishment Martinez goes over. Then we have the last man standing match, and this one they've dedicated a lot of television time to it. I thought there was only one really one angle that I would, if they could take it back, I wonder if they would, where it was when Jay Lethal made his return to TV and he beat the hell out of both Silas Young and Beer City Bruiser to the point that it was like, well, he has his revenge now. We don't need to see this. But they've managed to heat it up again since then. I think they've done really good work with just kind of building to this match. It's a last man standing match between Young and Lethal. Beer City Bruiser is listed as being in the corner of Silas Young, which normally would be like, well, yeah, of course he's going to be there. But they just had a TV match between Bruiser and Lethal where Young was not allowed at ringside, and they had security out there blocking him when there was no real stipulation for it. So I'm not quite sure of that, why they're doing this. Now, we've gone two heels, I guess you call. I mean, he's called the villain, but he's a very popular villain in Marty Scurll, and Martinez going over. You're going to make it three, Jake, with these last man standing rules.
It seems like they're attempting to reestablish Jay Lethal as a contender for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And so I would be surprised if Silas went over here. I know the feud's been sort of ongoing for quite a while now, and it seems like they've kind of, along with the feud, they've sort of let it slide in story that Young, has a great deal of respect for Lethal, even though they're feuding with one another. So I think we're going to see a pretty, you know, fun brawl here. And I think, you know, last man standing matches can get, you know, a little tedious with all the counting, but I'm hopeful that these two, they seem to have good chemistry in the ring with one another. And there's always, you know, Beer City Bruiser is the wild card. So I'm guessing Lethal goes over, but in the process, we're going to see a really fun match.
Yeah, I guess it just depends how long they want to stretch this out. I mean, if this is moving forward, you would think, okay, last man standing, there's a creative way for Jay Lethal to look strong, but lose the match. I'm also going with Lethal to win. I just don't know how long they envision this going, but I'm with you in assuming they want to get him higher on the card, but this should be a really good time. I'm looking forward to that one. Then we move into the weird scenario for the ROH six-man tag titles. The Hung Bucks will defend the titles against the winners of the Kingdom, Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, Vinny Marsaglia, I hope I pronounced it right this time, against Bully Ray and the Briscoes. So we'll start with the Kingdom against Bully Ray and the Briscoes. Who wins that to earn the title shot?
I'm going to say Bully Ray and the Briscoes.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's a more interesting match that sets them up. You know, they'll be going into a match with the Hung Bucks as the underdogs, having already wrestled potentially a long six-man tag match to get there. And I think it makes, you know, that match have a little bit more automatic drama and suspense there. But it's hard for me to kind of get a feel on what ROH thinks of the Kingdom at times. And I don't think they're as high on them as they are Bully Ray and the Briscoe. So I'm going to pick them to win.
Yeah, to me it makes more sense. Like, ROH never seems to care if the Young Bucks get cheered, but in this case, they're also facing the Machine Guns later in the show. You would think they would want to have your more traditional Buck side as the heels, Bucks and Page, against the Babyfaces, Bully and the Briscoes. So I'm also with you in assuming that's the six-man tag title match we get. Once we get to it, assuming that it's Bully Ray and the Briscoes challenging, do we have new six-man tag team champions?
You know, I'm going to say no, just because if the Bucks are going to drop a set of titles, I guess it would probably be the six-man titles. But I think Ring of Honor is so dependent on the Bucks for, you know, I guess promotion, and they're basically some of the biggest names they have in the company at this point, that I just have a hard time believing that they're going to drop the titles here. But I could be wrong. I just don't see Bully Ray and the Briscoes being, you know, just mega over at this point.
No, and it seems like they're working toward a breakup because the Briscoes have been, Jay Briscoe's been out of his mind, has been the storyline, a little bit calmer recently at TV. Bully Ray has been like the nicest babyface ever. When he sits in on commentary, he's praising the broadcast team, and he's all excited because it's his first time doing commentary in Ring of Honor. I would think that, you know, I mean, Bully was brought in to kind of be that Terry Funk veteran babyface. I still think he has a good heel run in him. They must have a tag team partner in mind. So, I mean, if you had to choose, would you turn the Briscoes or would you turn Bully Ray heel if they were to, you know, if they're actually going in this direction?
I think you have to turn Bully Ray. I mean, I just think he's got the mic skills to make being a heel work. And we haven't really seen a long form heel run from him since TNA, really. I mean, it just hasn't existed. So I'd look forward to that. I mean, it'd be one of the few things that would probably get me invested in, you know, Bully Ray again. I think it's been, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the veteran babyface comments, but I'd like to see him sort of take that role on again and see if he can kind of capture some of that magic he had a few years ago in TNA.
Yeah, and it wouldn't, you know, if he does end up turning on them and feuding with the Briscoes and it's a tag team thing, I know people would normally assume Devon's coming in, but he's been working as an agent with WWE, so I don't think that's it. On the flip side, if they were to turn the Briscoes, I don't know, could we be looking at, like, Bully brings in various partners from ECW past, including his buddy Tommy Dreamer?
Would not be shocked. Yeah, I mean, it seems like something they like to do occasionally, just to bring on the nostalgia. But I'm not sure how that would fit into Ring of Honor. I guess I don't know how Ring of Honor fans would react to that, especially since the guy's coming in, you know, just the much like you know, ECW, they're just kind of well past their expiration date. But, well, you know, it could be interesting from a, you know, just from a nostalgia standpoint, but that stuff doesn't last. So I don't know how long that would work.
And I really can't say I have a strong feeling about the outcome of the six-man tag title match, but I'll just to make an official prediction, I'll go with you with the Hung Bucks retaining. And I'm thinking we may get that breakup here of Bully Ray and the Briscoes. I don't know about you, Jake. I still don't care about the six-man tag titles.
Yeah, they're in an awkward position because it's, you know, it's not like they add something extremely unique or dynamic over the existing tag division. You know, we don't really see a lot of spots in six-man matches that really take advantage of the numbers. And if they do, it's just some crazy dive or something that requires a bunch of people to stand there and catch somebody. So, I mean, I understand the appeal because I think WWE sort of set the roadmap a couple of years ago on television with long-form six-man matches that kind of excited people for a while. But I think that formula's kind of run its course.
You're sure it's not, hey, New Japan has six-man tag titles now, we should too?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously that's a possibility, but I don't think it works that well in New Japan either.
Then we get into, we'll go to the tag title match that's not listed on the ROH website, at least as we record this. It is Motor City Machine Guns challenging the Young Bucks, the same team as the Hung Bucks, just minus Adam Page. So any chance we see a tag title change here?
Doubtful, but I think it could be an extremely fun match.
Yeah.
I like the Motor City Machine Guns a lot. At least, you know, in their primes, they were some of the most innovative guys in tag team wrestling. It's been a while since that time period, but at the same time, you know, I don't know that they have had opponents of the quality of the Young Bucks on a regular basis. So I'm excited for the match. I think, you know, if there's some chemistry here, you know, it could be off the charts good, but it just really depends on how the pieces fit together.
I really like the Machine Guns when they're in the ring together, but I don't like them in Ring of Honor when they're doing this, what is it, search and destroy, seek and destroy gimmick, where they team up with like Jay White and Jonathan Gresham for no reason other than they're the nice guys, and they're taking this young talent under their wing. It just makes them so vanilla. So that has really kind of soured me on them as personalities. They've really lost their way there. Alex Shelley is a creative guy. I kind of wish they'd turn him loose a little bit rather than going with this ultra-nice guy persona that they're doing with them. I was hoping maybe it would lead somewhere, and those guys were going to turn at some point. But I think what you see is what you get, and it just isn't doing anything for me. But I also look forward to the match. And I also think the Young Bucks retain. I just don't see any real momentum for the Machine Guns. Not saying they couldn't build some in this match and eventually take them, but I really don't see the need for a tag title change here. So now we're into the TV title match. Kushida facing Kenny King. Why Kenny King, you ask? Jake, I'm guessing it's because he's a Las Vegas native?
And they might see him having some promotional momentum based on his appearance on The Bachelorette.
Sure.
Maybe. Other than that, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not going to predict a title change either, just unless they have really overvalued the TV exposure he got on The Bachelorette, as if that would translate somehow back to wrestling. But you know, I think it should be a very exciting match. I really enjoy Kushida's work, and I think Kenny King, when he's at his best, is really good as well. So if they click and they're able to make their signature offense kind of meld together, I think it could be a ton of fun, and it deserves a high spot on this card.
I also enjoy the work of Kushida. I'm happy to see Kenny King is away from the mess factions that he was in with Rhett Titus and Caprice Coleman. I mean, I guess Shane Taylor for a little bit. Just bad stuff. It's nice to see him as a singles act. I'm not sold on him as a babyface yet. There's something that hasn't clicked there. And with Kushida, I really enjoy the in-ring work. I don't believe he speaks English. If he does, you would know better than I would, Jake. Does he speak English well?
I have not seen him speak anything more than broken English, so I don't know.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing he doesn't. I still want to see ROH do more to explain his personality, to help get that over. They just continue to take this approach that their audience sees everything. So, of course, because, you know, some people are going to be loud when Chuck Taylor debuts. Well, everyone must know who he is, or everyone's watching New Japan, so they're going to, we don't really need to explain who these people are, what their history is. It just little things they could do, video packages, even interviews with subtitles would be fine, just something, because I think the people who know Kushida like him, and the people who don't watch New Japan on a regular basis are like, yeah, he's okay, but who is he? So that's kind of missing. But I also have Kushida retaining the championship. That brings us to the main event. Cody defending against Minoru Suzuki. You already talked about the kind of match you're expecting here. I will add that this was originally, I believe, going to be Cody against Dalton Castle. And if you're noticing the Castle is absent from the card along with the boys, it's because he suffered some sort of a back injury. Because at the last UK pay-per-view, it was the online pay-per-view they did a while back, they actually did an angle to kind of set up Cody against Castle. But that was tossed out because of the injury. And so Minoru Suzuki takes his place. And Jake, I mean, it's hard to imagine there being a title change here. But is he a good quality replacement when it comes to not just the New Japan diehards, but you know, even the more casual, they only watch Ring of Honor and syndication type of a fan?
Yeah, you know, I think he does have some name value. He can be, you know, kind of terrifying if he would have had enough of a television build, and he's got very good instincts and facial expressions, and he definitely has an aura about him as a character. And so I think Minoru Suzuki is a good get for Ring of Honor, but as a late replacement for Dalton Castle, I don't know. You know, I think you need to do more to establish who he is and what he's about, and you know, his history and what that means before you can really just kind of put him in a title match and expect him to be a draw in the U.S. Because, like I stated earlier, he's in his 50s. You know, he wrestles a more submission and striking focused style. And, you know, I don't know how well that would mesh with what Cody does, which is a very American WWE style of wrestling. And it's really going to be up to how well Cody, can make him seem like a real threat and sell. And so I think that's where the match is really going to hinge upon, and how this is going to work when they're both kind of sort of heels. I don't exactly know. You know, that's a good question. But I think there's hope, you know, if Cody can really make it seem like, you know, he's in over his head early on in the match. I think there's some potential that down the stretch it could be a neat little story told in the ring. But that being said, I'm very uneasy about how their styles are going to come together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the match. I think they did the best they could when it came to establishing who Suzuki is on their television show. I wish they do a little more online. Their website is kind of disastrous at times, but I just wish there was a little bit more of an effort made outside the TV show. But within the television show itself, they did what they could, especially considering the short notice with the video packages they had. I like that Cody's on television on a weekly basis. Even if he's not wrestling or appearing in the ring, the ROH champion is always on television these days, doing a backstage interview, promo, something. And I think he's been pretty good. I thought he might, like, initially I really liked that he was making it clear he wasn't happy. You know, he's got this open challenge is the idea, but he was still pissed that it was Suzuki who took up the challenge. And that kind of faded as we got closer to the match, and that might have been something for him to stick with. But it's a unique matchup. It's one I'm looking forward to. I don't know that this sells to your casual audience. Hopefully there's enough other things on the show that this does. But I think to those who know Suzuki, and there's a lot of fans who do, that do follow New Japan and everything else, they're going to be excited about it. And so it's a unique lineup. It's an interesting show. I would say one notable thing, maybe to backtrack to the tag title match, there's no sign of Chris Daniels or Frankie Kazarian on this show. And their gimmick has been, they're going to ruin everything the fans love. So, Jake, would it surprise you if we get this really good Bucks and Machine Guns match and we don't get a finish because those two interfere?
would not shock me in the slightest. You know, and it would, you know, keep the titles on the Bucks without, you know, having to lay the machine guns out to dry, which they don't seem to want to do. They seem to have at least some plan for them going forward. So maybe we'll see a triple threat between all three of those teams eventually.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're building up to yet another ladder war between these teams. There doesn't really seem to be anything else that's building to that point right now. I mean, they can always heat something up, but if they want to go back to it, they can. Daniels and Kazarian have made it clear they're not after the tag titles. They're just out to ruin what people enjoy because the fans turned on Daniels. So, I mean, you know, we'll see if they tweak that story along the way. But you can join me again for live coverage of this event tonight as it airs. I believe it's in 8 Central start time, 9 Eastern. So a little bit later than your typical WWE show would start, just an hour later. And then .NET members will hear my exclusive audio review after the show later on this evening. And then don't forget, Sunday, live coverage of WWE No Mercy. Jake and I will get together with the audio review of that show on Sunday night for the members as well. And you can follow Jake online at Barnett Jake. Follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net. And we will talk to you on Saturday with that special edition looking at the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view.